Amen. Luke chapter 24, if you will, please. Good to see you all once again. Appreciate the opportunity to preach, as always. That's the hardest thing. It's singing, in my opinion. So I appreciate Brother Humble leading Psalms this afternoon. Luke chapter 24, if you would. Let's start reading in verse number 1. Just a few verses here to get us started. I'll do my best to be mindful of the time and considerate of the events that have taken place today. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 1. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." That should give us great comfort. Amen. Verse number 4, "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest." We'll stop there for the sake of time this morning. So my title for, I'll set this up here in a second, but the title for the message this afternoon is, "How good is your memory? How good is your memory?" Don't worry, we won't have flashcards or anything. I hope that'll make sense here in just a minute. But let's pray, ask the Lord's help before we continue here. Brother Dustin, would you open us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Like Pastor, I too have the struggle as to what to preach today. My problem isn't finding something to preach, it's just making sure it's what the Lord wants. I have a notebook of thoughts and outlines and things that I keep. So I never have a problem figuring up something to say. I just want to make sure it's what the Lord wants. And so as I was thinking about what direction we should go, it kept coming to my mind, as Pastor mentioned this morning, Christmas, of course, isn't necessarily the day that the Lord was born. It's the day that we set aside to remember it. It's the day that we set aside to observe it. And as I was thinking about that, I was drawn to this passage. I came across it a while back. And what brought my attention here is in verse number 8, it says, "And they remembered his words." They remembered. And I couldn't help but think, as we get older, many of you are older than I am, so you can attest to this as well. It gets harder and harder to remember things. Even the most routine of things, we forget. Anybody else gone out to their car and left your keys on the counter? How far are you going to get? Probably not very far, right? We forget our phones. We forget all these things that are essential to our daily life. And so as I was thinking about that, I was struck by the fact that we even need such a day to remember the birth of our Savior. You know, many people out in the world, they spend 364 days a year not thinking about the birth of Christ. And the one day that they use to remember him, it's full of gifts for themselves. But in reality, some of us may not be that different. Some of us allow the most routine of blessings and the most routine of gifts from our Heavenly Father to go unnoticed. We need something like a revival or a special meeting to help rekindle and to revive those things that we should already be taking notice of. I'm just as guilty as you are. I'm not trying to impose conviction on anyone. I'm just telling you where this came from. I had to deal with myself before I can teach it or preach it to you all. And so as we think about Christmas, as we think about what it is, this is not necessarily a Christmas passage or a Christmas text, but that's where my line of thinking went. And just recalling the fact that we use today as a day to remember the birth of our Savior, but let's not forget every other day. Let's not forget all of the other days and all of the times where God continues to bless and he answers prayer and he does this and he does that and he keeps us safe and he gives us a family and he gives us a home and a car and all these things, and we don't take notice. We don't remember. Our memory fails, just like how our physical memory fails. It fails us sometimes. Our spiritual memory, I think, sometimes might be even shorter. It might be even shorter. And so that's where this came from. So in the Word of God, there is great significance put on remembering spiritual landmarks, right? If you look in the Old Testament, we're not going to spend that they build altars and they mark the place where God did something amazing. They want to mark the place where something special happened here. So they erected a memorial or a landmark or something of that sort, and they would give it a name. And they would say, this is where God met with us, or this is where the people got their hearts right. I think you all know what I'm talking about. But this passage and its parallels, of course, are crucial parts of the gospel. Okay? Did y'all catch that? Did you catch as we were reading there? This is kind of an important passage. It was ultimately the culmination of the ministry of Christ on earth. Because listen, had he not risen, we would have a problem. Had he not risen, he still would have done amazing things. No doubt about that. He still would have been a great teacher. He still would have turned the world upside down to some sort or another. But the fact that he is no longer there, that changes everything. It changes everything. At this point, I think we would understand how they would forget some things. Think about some of the things that his followers have been through. They've watched the one that they've surrendered their lives to go through unimaginable things. Unimaginable betrayal, unimaginable pain, the suffering involved, seeing him on the cross. All of those things would shake most of us, I would think. And these people are no different. They're humans just like you and I are. You know, several times Jesus told them what would happen, didn't he? He told them why he came. He told them that he was going to endure some things. He told them he was going to die. He told them that he was going to rise again. He told them all of this. But just like us, they forgot. Right? They forgot. For lack of a better term, it kind of goes with my theme. So let me have this, okay? They forgot. Their spiritual memory lapsed. Because when push came to shove, when we come to this point, he's dead, he's gone. When we get to this point, they forgot. There's some reasons for that, but we'll get into. In the moment, they lost sight of those promises, and what they needed at that time was a time of observance, and to quote our passage here, they needed a time of remembrance of the promises which they had received. Two times you see the word remember. Followers are the only people that forget things. Let's not pretend, let's not hang them out to dry and say, how could you forget? How could they? We do the same thing. We too have times in which we need to have a time of remembrance and to have our memory refreshed of what has been promised to us. We need to have times where we say, you know what, this situation's bad, but I have promises waiting. We need to be refreshed. And we need to remember the fact that the one who promised us never breaks a promise. Now let's see if there's some things that we can draw from this that will help us as well. Everyone still with me? Amen. Okay. All right. So number one, here's what I want us to start off with in verse number four. It says this, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed. So number one here, if you're taking notes, I'll try to be note taker friendly. But number one, emotions can be a hindrance to our remembrance. Emotions can be a hindrance to our remembrance. Have you ever had a morning where nothing went right? Yeah. You ever had a morning where you wake up late, okay? Maybe you walked into the living room and your dog has regurgitated on the rug, and you know, you don't get your coffee, and you forget your phone, and you forget your keys, and all of these terrible things just consecutively happen. Anybody else? Okay. That morning happened while I was writing this. So the Lord was speaking to me in a very real kind of way. But we've all had times in which nothing seems to go right. And let me ask you, how does the rest of your day generally go? Probably not much better, right? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But those times where nothing is going right is the time in which we feel even the most basic things we do, we need to double and triple check. Right? So for me, that involved going to the house twice to make sure the oven was off and the garage door was closed. That was me. Because I figured, well, everything else has gone wrong, so let's make sure to double check those so I don't blow up my house or get it robbed. So that was my line of thinking. Now we see this demonstrated in our passage when the emotion that they had upon seeing the empty tomb was primarily that of doubt. That's what the word perplexed means here. It's emotional for sure. But if you look up the other three, how could followers of Jesus, someone who is so close to him, how could they doubt it? How could they doubt what they were seeing? They were emotional. They not only were surprised by what they saw at the tomb, but their minds did not go to the promises that Jesus had given them before he died. Their natural inclination was that of doubt. Our emotions cloud our judgment of God's working in our lives. Are you still with me? We cannot trust our emotions. Anybody else teach that to teenagers before? You cannot trust your emotions. How you're feeling right now is not how you'll feel in 30 seconds. And we as adults are pretty close to the same. We get wrapped up in things. We make rash decisions. We make a mistake and we look back and say, how could I have made that mistake? I've been reading my Bible for the last 20 years and I make this mistake that a new Christian would make. Because you got emotional. And when we get emotional, that's when things get fuzzy. It's when things get confusing. It is a hindrance to us. When we find that our emotions drive us more than our faith, we get ourselves in trouble. So, how did they handle this situation? How did they handle a situation in which they were perplexed? They didn't. God did. God did. And we see that in number two. God will often offer his assistance for our remembrance. I did not purposefully alliterate this. It's just kind of the way it happened. God will often offer his assistance for our remembrance. In verses 4 and 5, here's what it says. By them in shining garments. Said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? God got their attention. Fair to say? Shining garments. I don't know what shining garments are. I've seen some shiny suits before, but I've never seen necessarily a shining garment. And so I don't really know what that entails or what was going on there, but clearly this was not just a normal person that came across their path. Okay? God got their attention. It's often difficult to get ourselves out of our own head and emotions, but God has a way of speaking to us when we need it the most. Have you found that to be true in your life?
Yeah.
Oftentimes it's through the reading or the listening of the scriptures that God gets our attention. So, read your Bible and pay attention during preaching. Because that might be what you need to hear. One of the most exciting things about following God is found in the fact that at any moment, he can give us something that will bless us.
Amen.
And when we read our Bibles, I think we forget about that. We forget about the fact that it's exciting reading a book that is living. We forget about the fact that we're reading a book and the author is our Heavenly Father. God can use something from his circumstances that need to change. It's our perspective to it. And so as we are dealing with our emotions and as we're dealing with our perplexity like they were here, and as they're dealing with their doubt, it was God that got their attention and grounded them, so to speak. Pay attention to God speaking to your heart and he just might give you something special. I'd say they got something special, wouldn't you? So number three, we're just moving right along here. Number three. A time of assurance is often a part of our remembrance. We'll tie all this together in a little bit. So if you're not taking notes, we will tie it together. So number three, a time of assurance is often a part of our remembrance. In verses 6 and 7, let's read that again. It says this, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Say, and the third day, he brings our attention to scriptures that reinforce the promises that we need. He's not going to give you a unique vision. He's not going to give you something that's never been heard before. He'll give you something from his word. Something that you may or may not already know. As a new Christian, you don't know anything, right? So that's generally helpful. But as someone who's been saved for a while, probably not going to show you probably not going to reveal to you something you've never seen before. Sometimes that happens, but probably not. Probably what will happen is God will show you something that you need at that moment. That you've read 1,000 times. That you've heard preached 1,000 times. But it's just a matter of that circumstance or that problem intersecting with your emotions, intersecting with God's providence. That's when things can happen. That's a time of assurance, isn't it? It's not a time of learning necessarily, although it could be. It's typically just a time of assurance. As I mentioned, one of the most amazing things about having the Spirit of God inside of us and a divine library, which is probably in your lap this afternoon, is the fact that God can give us exactly what we need when we need it. It will never cease to amaze me. It'll never cease to amaze me how I can read a verse in the morning and that thing happened that day. Coincidence? No. Providential? Yes. Always. God has a way of working through His Word. When we need a time of remembrance in our life, God will show you from His Word what we need when we need it. We hear that, and we say, yep, that's right. We don't do it. We're not good at recognizing those times. And I know that because I'm not good at it either. Because our flesh wants to get every kind of person that you are. We never want to stop and evaluate. We never want to stop and say, God, I can't control this. What am I supposed to do here? We don't respond that way, typically. Unless if you're super spiritual, then this is not for you. But for the rest of us who are normal people, I have a hard time not responding to things. I have a hard time saying, God, how are you going to work in this circumstance? Can you understand how these people might be having a problem here? These followers of Jesus who have put their necks out on the line, quite literally, to follow Him. They're going against the grain of the culture. They're going against the authority that they've known all their lives. The religious authority and otherwise. You understand it was the government who put Jesus up for death, right? You all understand that. It was the people, but they condoned it. Jesus didn't have a lot of friends. Which means in turn, those who chose to stick it out with Him, they didn't either. They stuck their necks out. They were willing to sacrifice. And now this is a moment in which it seems like it all came crashing down. His body was gone. So that could be a backstory for the government to use or whoever to use to say that He was never who He said He was in the first place. Their faith was shaken. And what they got to get their attention in point number two, and in point number three, they needed a time of assurance. They needed a time where they would just stop doing stuff and listen to what God's trying to tell them. And lastly, number four, there's often a need of repentance as part of our remembrance. There's often a need of repentance. In verse number eight, it says, and they what? Remembered His words. After being encouraged to remember in verse number six, they finally do it in verse number eight. Verse number nine says this, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. When we fail to remember God's promises to us, it's probably because we're not fully right with Him at that moment. Did you catch that? We have allowed our emotions or our self-sufficiency or our circumstances to dictate our relationship with Him. We've allowed that circumstance to pull us out of the center of God's will. Decisions happen. And as quickly as possible, we need to get back to safety. We need to get back to the center of His will. And whether it's our emotions that brought us there or whether it's the circumstance or whatever, the cause does not matter. What matters is where I am found. And what do we need at that point? A healthy dose of repentance. When we prioritize anything else over our relationship with God, we have forfeited ourselves from our closeness with Him. You understand that anything that drives a wedge between me and my Savior is a problem. And if that wedge turns out to be my pride, or turns out to be the fact that I wouldn't stop doing stuff, that needs to be dealt with. When we are not close to God, it means that we are choosing to be closer to something else. If I allow in my life, let's use a human relationship here, okay? So in my marriage with my wife back there. If I allow anything to take away from my time from her or to take away from my love for her, I've allowed something to come between us. Fair to say? Our closeness is not what it could be. Okay? Super simple illustration there. That works for friendships and other relationships too, but you see where I'm going with it. I have chosen to prioritize something else in my marriage. which means we are not as close as we could be. In our walk with our God, there are so many things that want to come in between. Namely, my flesh. Namely, the world around me, whether they realize it or not. That's why it's so important to know who I'm hanging around with. That's why it's so important not to get caught up in the gossip of work and all those other things that we must always be mindful of. That's part of why we have an invitation, isn't it? Deal with it. Get it fixed. Leave it here. The longer that we harbor sin and doubt, the easier it becomes to forget the goodness of God. You've seen it before, haven't you? You've seen someone who got hurt or who has been out of shape for whatever reason. And the longer that they harbor that, the further they get away from their Savior. The further they get away from what was once such a priority is no longer a priority. We've all seen that. We probably all dealt with it at one time in our lives. The difference is how quickly we repent. So, let's do some final thoughts here and we'll be done. Everyone's hanging in there, okay? If you're with me, say amen. Okay, about half of you are asleep, but we're going to keep going. So, final thoughts. Now listen, this account is a great example of how quickly we forget. Okay? You can see the emotional swing, can't you? You can see the perplexion. You can see how they get afraid when God finally confronts them. And then you can see how they remember. And then in verse number 9, it says, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things. Okay? So you see this giant swing of what is going on in their lives. How quickly we forget. We forget the goodness of God. We forget the promises of God. And we forget the working of God in our lives so quickly. We forget it. Now, as we are remembering the birth of our Savior on Christmas Day and the excitement that comes along with that, never lose your excitement for remembering how good and faithful God is to you. Christmas is exciting. Okay? I like Christmas. I'm not a Scrooge. Okay? I like things. I'm not super emotional, but I like Christmas. I like getting some presents. I like getting some candy, stuff like that. I like giving things. I like seeing the smile on people's faces when you give them something. I enjoy all of that. And I get that Christmas is it's a once a year thing, right? It's a once a year thing that we observe Christmas. But I really wish that some of us could be as joyful on Christmas all throughout the year. And not just physically, spiritually. Spiritually, I watched a bunch of people come in about 20 minutes before services today. Excited. The foyer out there was full. People were excited. People dressed up. People were smiling and fellowshipping. And there was all this stuff going on. I love that. Not every Sunday is like that. Not every Sunday do we come in that excited to hear preaching or to sing. We had a choir full of people up here who were smiling, except during the special. No, I'm kidding. Who were smiling and who were excited because we were singing a new song, and it's all exciting. And that's so good to see. But man, every Sunday and every Wednesday, we have a cause for excitement. We have a cause to be joyful. It's not going to kill us to smile. It won't. It might, but I doubt it. And if you know, like Pastor says, if you die in church, you get a VIP pass straight to heaven. Okay, that's how that goes, if you're saved. So, we have cause to be joyful. We have cause to be happy. Don't let the excitement of Christmas be a once-a-year thing. Remember God's faithfulness to you. Remember His goodness. We see the emotional swing in this passage. Because otherwise, they went and told. They went and told what happened. It was exciting. The better you remember God, the closer you will want to be with Him. The better you remember Him. Don't let your spiritual memory fail. I could have just saved us all about 30 minutes and just said that, and we would have gone home. But I'm a preacher. We take the long way around the barn every time, so here we are. The better you remember God, the closer you'll want to be with Him. In the excitement of Christmas, don't forget how good your Savior is. And when December 26th comes, and it will, at midnight tonight, the calendar will flip. Don't let your emotions flip with it. Keep your excitement. Keep the joy of Christmas in our spiritual life. Amen. All right, let's all stand, if you would please. Heads bowed and eyes closed.